Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, April 20th, 2012, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals. We understand the problem, and we have the answer: gold and silver-related investments. We're located here in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and you can direct those to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. That's mail@centralmetalscorp.com. And as usual, it's our pleasure to introduce our guest today, Mr. Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Bob, how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. Well, we got a few questions from listeners today. I sent out an email and I got some good responses. First, I just want to give our listeners a price. I got a spot price for gold at $1,642.61. Spot silver at $31.67. So we really haven't had much of a week this week. Bob, what do you think? It's kind of a neutral week?
You'd call it that, but it's been made that way. And the reason I say that, there's big trouble brewing in Europe, and they want to keep the price of gold and silver in this 1600 to 1660 area. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's doing what it's doing.
Well, next week we have, I believe next week is options expiration, and there tends to be a lot of volatility around that date. So you think we're going to have some large volatility next week?
No. There's not many options that are in the money, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think there'll be much exercise. Most of them will fall and expire, probably worthless.
Right. Okay, so let's get on to listener questions here. Where's the first one? This one comes in from Angela in Ontario, I believe. She says she enjoys listening to the show, and she'd like to ask, oh, she's from Alberta, sorry. She'd like to ask if, will Canadian RRSP suffer the same fate as the U.S. 401k?
And what fate may that be?
I think she means the fact that I think... that there's some restrictions on the 401k, or that they're talking about the 401k being controlled by the government, or that they're going to be offering bonds for 401ks.
At this point in time, I see no, nothing that would lead me to believe that Canada would do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other question she has is, do you think a public sector Alberta pension plan with 200,000 members, governed by the Alberta Finance Minister, could get wiped out along with all other pensions?
Absolutely. But it depends on what they get in there. And so I don't know, so I can't answer that question any further.
I believe most pension plans, they give you an option of where you want to invest, and usually it's a type of a balanced and diversified portfolio in one market or another. So I would, I guess, if Angela has the option to pick where her pension plan is, she should probably pick something that's more in natural resources area, I would imagine, or something closest to it. Other than that, I guess we'd need more details. So, Angela, if you want to follow up with that, maybe next week we can address that. Next question here. This one is from Bill. He's also in Ontario. Can you ask Bob if he sees a chance of a May rally for the miners? Any thoughts on whether Agnico Eagle will make its numbers and reopen Goldex?
I don't know whether they'll remake their numbers, but they're working on a possibility with the engineering people to see if they can do it. And quite frankly, I think they can, but I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there's a chance that we will have a rally in the miners in May, I guess?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah.
I mean, gee, they're selling anywhere from 8 to 15 times earnings.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage of the bull market in 1978, they were selling at 150 times. So they're underpriced.
Mm. Okay, and since we're on the mining companies topic, the next two questions are also in that area. This one comes from James, also in Ontario. Can you ask Bob how he accounts for the sluggish behavior of Silver Wheaton on the TSX?
Well, I've seen a number of reports telling people to sell it. And so that's why I think they're having a problem with the action of the stock. The stock was overpriced, too. But it's a good company.
Mm-hmm.
I would be in my second tier of choices. So I think it'll do fine.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to remind our listeners for disclosure. You know, the comments and recommendations on the stocks are strictly Bob Chapman's alone, and Central Metals Corp or myself are not responsible for any investments made in the stocks. Same listener here. Well, I guess we already addressed Agnico Eagle. excuse me. There's a lot of comments in this question as well. I'll just get to the questions here. He says, there are some people saying that derivatives market in Europe is collapsing. With the IMF meeting next week, is there going to be another bailout?
That's hard for me to call because it all depends on what players you're talking about. And so I think they're concerned about dividends, and they should be, derivatives, and they should be.
Mm-hmm.
What they can do about it, I don't know.
With the derivatives, Bob, when they publish numbers, I was reading an article talking about $290-some trillion of derivatives around the world. When they value, when they place, I think it was a notional value, when they say that, is that the price of the margin put up to own that derivative contract, or is that the value of the full contract?
Value of the full contract.
Okay, I figured. That's some huge numbers.
There's a lot of hocus pocus in between, too, so it's really not a good figure.
Yeah. Oh, we got another question just came in. Let me finish off with these ones here. Did you get the email regarding Helix?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the question. Helix Ventures drill results at their Arizona property are given in grams per ton and ounces per ton, and the depth of the mineralization. With a heap leaching operation, what are the minimum ounces per ton needed to be profitable, and what are the costs per ton for extraction at the location? There were no results given for silver or other ores on the property. Is there a rule for inferring the resources for the other ores? And if the process of heap leaching is simple, why was it not employed previously, and what is making this technology more profitable today? This is a little bit of a technical question, but...
You're looking at you could split the top property into two areas, and you've already got the response on one area. The next question is, the engineers have to decide what they think, how much gold there might be there, along with other minerals, because they have those figures. And they say gold equivalent, inferred. And that would match up for the 43-101, which is a report government accepts. And that's when you would get a ballpark figure of what they might have on the ground. Now you got 20 more holes coming, and when they'll start to drill them, I don't know. And they would add them in with the others, and then they'd go after it. Because what they've got there is mineable.
Mm-hmm.
What's the stripping ratio? Zero. Highly unusual. It's from surface to 40 feet. So it's very, very inexpensive. Probably $300, $350, $400 an ounce. Or is the average in the industry now? I think it's somewhere around $900, $875. So it's a very... Did you say something?
Nope.
It's a very economic situation.
Not very good. Sounds like... they're doing okay. That question came in from Ken in Georgia. Great question, Ken. Very technical. And we have one more question that came in here. Two more questions. Okay. Here we go. This is a long one. All right. This question comes in from Frank in Ontario. Do you have a feel for how bad things are going to get in South Africa and Swaziland? Frank, I can't read the question all. It's just too long. So I'll just get right to the questions here. How do you feel about, Bob, how do you feel about South Africa and Swaziland?
When they had the Soweto Riders in 1976, after that I never bought anything in any South or any African country. Once the Africans take up, you can kiss it goodbye. and I live there.
Mm-hmm. And he's also asking if you know what the Illuminati are planning for those two countries.
What the Illuminati are you what?
If you know what the Illuminati are planning for those two countries, I guess he's referring to South Africa and Swaziland.
They're going to drain it of every sense that they can. And they were doing that before, and they decided, well, this way we're, it's not working out, and we want to enslave these people even more. So let's let them take the thing over because they're incapable of running it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the bottom line.
Take
it from someone who lives there.
Well, yeah, this is what he's asking. Basically, he says, Frank says he's got a couple of friends who own property in Embabane, the main city in Swaziland, Africa. And he says they will move back to Canada if it's... if it makes sense for them, if the country becomes unsafe. So he's, what would your recommendation be to Frank's friends who are living out there in Swaziland, Africa? Should they be moving back to Canada and sell their property?
I wouldn't. Long term, it's going to be a loser.
Mm-hmm.
And people should have been getting out in 73, 4, and 5. I mean, you know, what was going to happen was pretty obvious. You know, but if you get property and you like living there, you make up all kinds of stories to make yourself happy in denial. Are they farmers?
Hmm. He doesn't say. I guess maybe they're listening in Africa and they're trying to get your opinion. So
I would have left a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you have it, Frank. Bob used to live there, so I would tell your friends to take his advice. Bob, where do you, what countries, I mean, it's hard to say what country's safe nowadays, but what would be your favorite countries to raise a family, let's say somebody with a young family or someone that's looking for a comfortable retirement, what would be your favorite areas of the globe to live in right now?
I like Latin America. Mexico, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica. I think they're the best.
Mm-hmm.
You've got economic contraction going on in Australia right now, so it's not a good time to go there. You might look at New Zealand. They say it's a good place to start a business right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but I haven't looked into it myself. I wouldn't go to Europe. Too many troubles.
Okay. Sounds, well, I guess everyone who can speak Spanish in America should brush up on their Spanish and take a look at Latin America then. One of the other topics that I wanted to address this week, we had some questions regarding, and I know we discussed it before on this program, regarding some secret stash of gold. There's some websites that are promoting that there's a stash of gold and gold is going to drop and silver should be the place to be.
Are they coin dealers?
No, I think it's a newsletter, and I believe that I think it's a free newsletter, and then I think he gets people to ask for his stock recommendations, and then that's where he charges them for that, or something like that. I don't follow that site at all, but I have some listeners that follow this guy.
He's totally incompetent.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
actually, it's even worse than that, but I won't put it on the air.
Yeah. I don't know. I just tell our listeners, check out the background of people, I guess, and look at what their qualifications are and their experience. And I mean, there's some, what I've seen is there's some websites that obviously the writers are intelligent and they know, sometimes what they're talking about, but their motivation is in the wrong place. So I like anything else, do your own due diligence and, be careful who you listen to out there. Bob Chapman, you have over 50 years experience in the industry, and I've been following you for, almost 10 years now, and all of your predictions in a general sense have been true. I mean, gold is much higher than it was in, I think it was in 2005 when I started listening to your broadcast. So, and over the years, I've heard all kinds of, negative opinions and so on gold, and the international forecaster is one of the very few that you can get the truth from. And Bob, if you'd like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe, please.
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Usually runs 30, 40 pages. And we have a hard copy that goes out each twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. Everything you need to know each week is in that publication. To get a free introductory copy, you can go to theinternationalforecaster.com. Forecaster is spelled forecaster.com. If you have a question, and we answer everyone, or would like a copy of the reports, or if you'd like a copy of our latest report on gold and silver shares, you can email us at Bob, B-O-B, at I-N-T, F-O-R-E, C-A-S-T-E-R.com, Bob at intforecaster.com. Those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178. You get the reports there, and if you want to become a subscriber, they're offering a special deal there of a free one-year subscription. So if you want to be a subscriber, that's a place to go to. And the deal that they're offering, I think, is terrific.
Okay, there you go, folks. Get yourself a copy. It's well worth it. Bob, I just have one more question in closing here. I was... as a matter of fact, this morning reading a piece related to the interview that Blythe Masters had on CNBC last week. And the new spin on it is that she was telling the truth because her client is actually the New York Fed. And so, if the New York Fed is storing physical silver in her vaults, that they can hedge it. And I was kind of surprised by this comment because I listened to her interview again, and she clearly says that they store physical silver for their clients, and their clients hedge their silver position, and she in turn hedges that position again. So again, why would you invest in silver and hold a hedge for the same product? It doesn't make sense.
No, they're reading the market. They're part of it, and the government's doing it. And that's all she wrote.
And, yeah, it surprises me because the website that I read it from apparently is a prominent silver website. And, I mean, you don't, if you're going to invest in maybe people don't understand what hedging is for. If you hold a position, if you're an investor and you have a position in silver, you would hedge with something that moves in the opposite direction of silver, whether it be a bank stock or the S&P 500 index or something that moves in the opposite direction to protect your position if you're an investor. If you're a manufacturer and you require physical silver to build a product, your risk is on the price of silver going up because it increases your cost of production. So you would hedge the price of silver to protect your cost of production. As an investor, when you invest in silver, you do not hedge your own position. It's contradictory. Nobody does that. It's stupid. If you want to reduce your exposure to silver, then you don't invest as much. There's no reason to hedge. So did I explain that okay, Bob? Or?
Yes, perfectly right.
So
they've done it bottom of the market in.
Yeah, so I think that there must be something else to that puzzle. Obviously, they're either, it's not true what they're saying, or they have some kind of ulterior motive. But her comments are all over the internet. That interview is everywhere. I mean, as far as precious metals websites, I think most people have heard the interview, and it just doesn't make sense the way she explains it. So. It's the kind of the irony of it is she goes there to make a contribution to university in Colorado, and then she explains how their hedging position works, and it's false. So not a very good impression she's making for the commodities and the hedging industry. So anyways, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for joining us, Bob, and we look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Well, I do too, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
All right.